All I can tell you is the victim has been identified as the actress Amanda Delaney.
I'm sorry, you didn't make Commander. What kept coming up was that botched investigation into that Fitzpatrick character.
As from this morning, the murder inquiry will be led by Detective Chief Superintendent Langton.
So he didn't get his promotion.
Amanda was promiscuous.
Do you know of anyone who might have had a grievance against her?
One of her boyfriends or one of their wives?
I've got confirmation that these three actors, Scott Myers, Rupert Mitchell and Sean O'Dell, all had an affair with our victim. She was pregnant whilst filming The Mansion.
No, it wasn't mine.
But most importantly, there is the possibility that she was writing some sort of autobiography.
What, you think she might have been about to publish something inflammatory?
She told us that she was maybe going to change her agent.
I haven't been paid anything for that movie. The bitch is stealing from me.
What was that?
Well, there it is. It's a crucifix.
Felicity finds Dan dead on the bedroom floor.
I want to find out exactly who it was that stitched me up.
But not one of your old team would do that.
Well, I intend to find out, Mike.
On a smoke-shrouded film set, Sean O'Dell spots a pretty girl trapped in a car. Handsome Sean leaps over an upended car and makes his way over to the trapped and gagged girl. He smashes the car window, opens the door, then picks up the girl in his arms. Kelly Riley, Kieran Hines, above suspicion, silent scream. Sean puts the girl down, then takes out a remote. The car behind them blows up.
Fifth take.
Right. She weighs a ton.
Looks like we've got it. Save the flame, just in case we go again. Checking that.
You're here about Amanda.
I am.
Yeah, take a seat.
Travis, who was watching the filming, sits beside him.
Couldn't believe it when I read about it. Look, if there's anything I can think of that'll be of any help, I'm ready. I loved her to pieces.
Where were you the night she was killed, Mr. Dell?
Oh, it was here, filming. Everybody here can vouch for that. I haven't seen her in a while. I suppose you know we'd split up. I mean, we were an item. According to the press, we were about to get married, which was total bullshit. It was sex, and that was it.
Did you know that shortly after working with you on The Mansion, she had an abortion?
That's the first I've heard of it.
Could the baby have been yours?
Mine? No way. I'm a good Catholic boy and I'm against abortion.
She shows him a photo.
Do you ever own a crucifix or seen one like that?
No.
Look at the photo, please. It was used in your movie.
Wait. It was a while ago. We might have used it in The Mansion. I don't exactly remember if that was the same one. Here, what was done to her?
She was stabbed multiple times.
Jesus! She didn't deserve that.
She had a toy rabbit. Do you ever recall seeing it?
Yeah. Horrible thing, bald with floppy ears. She used to keep her skunk inside it.
Well, it's missing. Did you ever own a key to her muse house?
No. What do you think? I went in there and nicked her a rabbit?
She left you, didn't she, for Rupert Mitchell?
Yeah. I introduced her to him. We were out clubbing and he was there with his wife.
Did that make you jealous?
He looks dubious.
What I didn't like was the press crawling all over me like a rash. Didn't make any difference to me. Besides, I'd already met my new girlfriend, French actress. Oh, it looks like I'm needed.
Well, thanks very much for your time, Mr. Dell.
Yeah, a bit of pleasure.
Thanks.
A makeup girl fiddles with his coat.
You just leave it, will you? Hurts like hell.
Rupert Mitchell opens his door to Langton.
Morning. I'm Detective Chief Superintendent James Langton. I'd like to ask you a few questions, if I may.
He steps past the long-haired Rupert, sitting in his living room.
Did you ever go to Mr. Laney's muse house?
No.
So this intimate relationship, where did it take place?
I booked a hotel.
Were you aware that Amanda had been pregnant?
Pregnant?
Yes. She had an abortion shortly after she finished filming The Mansion.
Well, I guess that leaves me off the maternity suit.
Rupert sits forward.
I'm sorry. We never really began seeing each other till that movie was over.
Sorry to interrupt. Darlene, your driver's here.
Honey, this is Detective Chief Superintendent...
James Langton.
My wife, Helen. If you'll excuse me.
Mr. Mitchell, at your convenience, we'll require your DNA and fingerprints for elimination purposes.
He nods, then goes, leaving Langton with an anxious Helen.
The night that Amanda Delaney was killed, your husband...
didn't get home until midnight. I made him a snack and went to bed.
Did you ever meet Miss Delaney?
It's rather public knowledge they were seeing each other, but I never met her. The press were constantly outside our house. I'm certain they were tipped off by her. They seemed to know exactly what time Rupert would be at home.
Did you ever go to a Muse house?
I just said I never met her. I never go to the film set. She made my life hell when I really needed to be calm. Stress almost gave me a nervous breakdown.
With a somber frown, Helen gets up and marches out into the hallway towards the front door. Langton follows her. In a long camel-coloured coat, Rupert comes out of another room, clutching a book.
Did Amanda ever mention to you that she was writing a book?
What on earth would Amanda be writing a book about?
An autobiography. Perhaps naming the father of the child she aborted.
Helen shuts the door after Langton, then glares at Rupert in the hallway. Outside, Langton passes Harry James, who's standing beside his car, texting.
Mr. James.
Yeah?
The night that Amanda Delaney was killed...
I've already given a statement. I took Miss Delaney home around 10 o'clock, returned back to the film set, waited for Mr. Mitchell to be released, and brought him back here just after midnight.
That's very succinct. Thank you.
Harry watches as Langton walks away. Felicity joins Jeannie in the kitchen of their basement flat.
I'm so scared. Why did he do it?
He was just completely out of it. You knew he had trouble getting it up.
Probably some fucking computer to get his gear. And you have got to promise me to stay straight. We're going to make a shedload of money, but not till after the funeral.
But when will we know we can bury him?
Oh, damn it, you idiot. Amanda's funeral. Oh. Gonna lend my poem for it.
Hey, where have you hidden it?
I'm sure.
But what if he comes back for it?
Well, I've got enough on him to make him shit himself. Won't dare. Done a runner. Gone to Amsterdam.
Scrawny Felicity limps over to the frosted glass door. There are two silhouettes against the bright daylight. She opens up.
Hello, there is Jeannie.
It's detectives. For you.
Hello again, Jeannie. This is DS Paul Baroli. Do you want to take us through what happened to Dan?
Yeah, okay.
Paul and Mike follow her into a bedroom nearby.
We didn't get back till early in the morning. We knocked on his bedroom door, but... he wouldn't answer. And we pushed the door and it felt really heavy. Then we found him. Needle still sticking out of his arm. Oh, it was terrible. Called an ambulance straight away.
He'd left the party early, but we just thought he wasn't in the mood. Do you know what I mean? A bit depressed about Amanda and that. I mean, he was on methadone. I hadn't touched heroin for months. Why did this to himself? He loved her. We all did. And found the rent now. I don't know.
Where's the computer gone?
I think he must have flogged it to get the gear.
Yeah, that's right.
Was it expensive?
Oh, Amanda bought it for Dan. They like playing games.
A flashback.
Oh, the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, all right.
Amanda gives Dan the crucifix necklace.
This can be your prize.
He looks delighted as she kisses his cheek. In the present day...
well, they did.
Jeannie looks down sadly. Travis arrives in the incident room at the police station.
Sean O'Dell is off the hook. The whole unit can confirm it.
Same with Rupert Mitchell. His driver was very keen to let me know that Mitchell was home by midnight. So, all three of them have alibis. Helen Mitchell is a very attractive woman. What the hell would he see in Amanda Delaney?
Would you like me to tell you?
No. Sex combined with a needy personality. I know a few men whose lives have been screwed up because of that.
So what do you like, then?
Drunk or sober?
Want toasted chicken, bacon sandwich, no tomatoes. Do you need anything else?
No, thanks, Barbara.
I'll get my own lunch, thanks.
Gov, read the references to Amanda Delaney's accusations about being ripped off. I've contacted her agent, Miss Lesser, and asked for account details. She has power of attorney.
Do we have any idea how much Amanda was worth?
A lot. £250,000 in a Coutts bank account for starters.
What, at the age of 24, we're in the wrong business, Joan. Has anybody managed to make contact with the publishers?
Not yet, but a Josh Lyons has come up on Amanda's iPad.
Golden Arrows is his publishing company, but we're having trouble tracking him down.
It's not the only thing we're having trouble tracking down. It's the bloody CCTV footage from the Muse. Where the hell is Paul?
At the victim's Muse now.
Barbara, can you get me Amanda's iPad and a cup of coffee, please? Thank you. Can somebody clear Sam Powers' medals, whatever, out of that office so I can use it? Thank you.
Joan heads for the office with a waste paper bin. Langton lobs someone else's things off a chair and sits down at their desk. Travis heads down the stairwell, running into Paul and Mike, who are on their way up.
Good news or bad news? Dan Hutchins was pumped full of heroin, looked self-inflicted, needle still in his vein. Couldn't find the gear, though, a bit odd. And the computer's missing.
Two girls reckon that Dan sold the computer to buy the drugs. They both looked off their head, though, didn't they?
Wait, is this the good news?
No, they found this by sight.
The crucifix necklace.
Mike, we really got to get a search warrant for this place. All right, well, you two go grab lunch. I'm going to show this to the boss.
No, I'll take it. Got a few things to check out.
He takes the evidence bag back off Travis and continues upstairs, followed by Paul. Travis loiters for a moment, then carries on downstairs. Barbara brings Langton a cup of coffee in the incident room.
Mike brought this in. Dan Hutchins had an identical crucifix. Jones contacting the costume designer.
How many bloody crucifixes did they have in that film?
Hopefully just the two. Better not lose this. Travis's accelerated promotion form.
Yeah. Accelerated promotion?
Yeah, fast track. She'll be reviewed by all the bigwigs.
Which ones?
I'm not sure, but I do know that Deputy Commissioner Waters is overseeing the panel.
Well, that's interesting.
Travis returns to her desk.
Joan?
Yeah.
She picks up a plate.
Is he even at my desk?
Yeah. Andrea Lesser's in interview one, and we finally got through to the publishing company. Josh Lyons, PA, expects him in this afternoon.
Who's taking the interview?
Lewis is with Langton.
Great. Oh, my papers are mixed up. Where's Baroli?
Back at the victim's muse, poor love. Still trying to get access to the CCTV footage from the Russians. Langton keeps on having a go at him.
Clearing up her desk, Travis looks peeved. In an interview room.
Have you seen Miss Delaney's will?
Yes, I have.
We need to know who the beneficiaries are.
I suggested she use the solicitors Marchbank and Crawley, since they have done a considerable amount of work for certain clients of mine. Amanda, I have to say, was in the habit of changing certain bequests, but I've had no reason to discuss any alterations with her over the past 3 months.
We also require details of Miss Delaney's finances over the past 6 months.
You'll find that all of her accounts are in excellent order, up to date on all her tax and VAT payments.
Can you explain to us how money paid to Miss Delaney reaches you?
The film companies would pay the fee to my agency. I would deduct my commission and then forward her payment.
So all monies paid to Miss Delaney are first paid to you?
You have to understand that there are always delays with payments and collecting artists' residuals. When I rang the film company, they assured me that the payment was on its way. What she insinuated was wrong and deeply insulting.
Which was what, exactly?
That there was money missing.
Blonde Andrea fixes Langton with an unconvincing stare. Langton chucks down a file and gets up. He leaves Mike and Andrea together and returns to the incident room, where he finds his jacket has gone missing from Travis's seat.
She's a bloody liar.
He scans around and spots the jacket on Joan's seat. He grabs it and fishes his cigarettes out of the pocket before leaving the room. Outside the Golden Arrow publisher's office, Travis gets out of her car as Josh Lyons' expensive-looking black sports car pulls up.
Excuse me. My space. Could you move your car immediately?
Are you Josh Lyons?
Oh, look, I have...
I'm Diana Travis. I'm investigating the murder of Amanda Delaney.
Shit. Sorry. Look, you can park there. I'll be with you immediately. I first met her at a nightclub. It was a new club called Soho Vice. Predominantly gay after 11. That's not to say that I am. They just have a great cabaret floor show and stunning waiters stripped to the waist. Plus some rather tacky topless waitresses that work mostly VIP room. I gave her my card.
I'm sorry, when was this?
A couple of months ago. You know, she was a real star. In the press every few minutes. I don't offer deals lightly. She was with that actor, Sean O'Dell. I think he had enough of his nose. In fact, he was quite rude. Told me to fuck off. Unbelievable.
She came here to your office?
No, we went to Le Caprice for lunch. What I said to her was that we needed to know that she would be able to come up with the goods. Know what I mean? We were about to drop a contract. Oh, God, can you imagine what that would be worth to us now? Sorry, that does sound terrible, but, well...
Who else knew that she was writing this book for you?
She didn't want anyone to know, especially not her agent. We often keep authors' names under wraps, but she was very insistent upon it.
And when was the last time you saw her?
A couple of weeks later. We met at her old flat. She didn't want to come to the office and, well, I wasn't prepared to pay for another lunch.
Put it all in here. I write in it every day. See? And I've got poetry as well. I want that in it too.
I'm going to be totally honest. We're not that interested in the poetry, darling. Like I said before, what we need is material that makes it worth my while to give you a publishing deal. Now, don't worry about upsetting anyone, sweetheart. You just leave that to the lawyers. You want big money, then give me the goods. Understand me?
You'll get them. I promise. A lot of people deserve payback time.
This is a flashback to Amanda's bedroom. Josh follows her out of the room, then downstairs.
I'll get a chapter written and send it over to you. But you know my stipulations. No one's to know about this, or it's over, all right?
Listen, sweetheart, the element of surprise is what we make big sales with. But you'll have to agree to promotional interviews on publication.
When this comes out, I'll have to go into hiding. I'll have to change my name. You want me to name names? You're going to get them. A shed load. But I want big money, no less than $500,000.
Do you want one?
I thought I told you to stay out this afternoon.
Sorry, overslept.
Josh nods a hello to Felicity, Josh's office in the present day.
You're certain that she had this 5-year diary in her possession the last time you saw her?
Oh, yes. She hugged it to her. It had a pink leather cover, thick like this. The place was squalid. Hard to believe, with all that money and fame, that she ever lived there. Not to speak ill of the poor girl, but what she showed me was not worth publishing. To be totally honest, I doubted she'd ever deliver.
You never went to her muse house, did you?
No. She did ring me that evening, accusing me of stealing her diary. She was rather hyper. I told her she probably left it in the flat. Never saw her again.
Josh looks levelly towards the window. At home, Travis sits on her own in the living room with a cup of red wine beside a half-finished bottle. She's written key words on bits of notepaper and arranged them on the coffee table. Words include memoirs, pregnancy and jealousy. She picks up a note that reads, diary. She looks round at the door, checks her wristwatch, then puts down the cup of wine. She heads for the door and peers through the spy hole before opening up to Langton.
Get you out of bed, did I?
Have I done something I shouldn't have?
No, just wanted to see how it went with the publishing company.
She eyes him warily as she follows him into the living room, where he spots the notes on the table.
My dad used to do that.
Yeah, I remember. So, how was it?
Well, I didn't get back till late. I've typed up the report ready for the morning. Amanda was hoping for a deal and for a lot of money. But I doubt from what Mr. Lyons said that it was ever going to come off. He didn't think that she was capable. But he was positive about a 5-year diary. He described it having a pink leather cover, but it wasn't found at the Mews.
So that's another personal item that's gone missing.
Mr. Lyons thinks that she could have left it at the basement flat. I've suggested that we get a warrant for that place.
Well, follow it through. Got any ice?
He's brought his own whiskey.
Sure.
Thanks.
She glances back at him as she leaves the room. He waits until she's gone, then quickly reaches for a big pile of documents on the coffee table. He searches through them, glancing furtively at the door to check that Travis isn't watching.
You got any crisps?
Yes!
She was already holding a packet in the kitchen. Langton taps his fingers on the table and scans around again. He sighs and rubs his chin, then sits back as Travis returns with the crisps in a bowl and a glass of ice.
Thanks.
She sits down at the other end of the sofa as he pours himself a big measure of whiskey, then takes a sip.
How well do you know Deputy Commissioner Michael Waters?
Well, I know who he is, obviously.
And when did you two discuss the fiasco of the Fitzpatrick case?
What?
I didn't want it to be you, of all people.
Wait, you think that I...
Scuppered my promotion, yes, I do. The question is, why did you do it? You're so ambitious to get your own, I know that you've been fast-tracked.
Is that what you're doing going through my desk?
No, I was just eating my lunch without having Sam Power's athletic prowess shoved down my throat with all his bloody plaques and cups. So I used your desk. You think I'd sift through your bloody homework?
You think that I spoke to Waters about the Fitzpatrick case? You really think that I would do that? Especially after all your warnings. You said to me that anybody involved in that case, they could lose their career. You told me to bury it. Remember? So I buried it. And then you send me out on all these mindless cases, anything that you're not working on. You completely keep your distance from me, and I hardly saw you. I thought you blamed me.
But I was the superintendent, Anna. Any blame...
Well, what about Lewis? Or Baroli? Or Joan? I mean, we were all there. Is everyone under suspicion, or is it just me?
I need to know, Anna.
You have no idea how much I care about you. You could even think that.
Well, maybe you've no idea what it means to me to lose this promotion. Now, I am not and never have been a fast-track officer with a university degree behind him. But I came up the hard way, from uniform to detective, 25 bloody years. And that title of commander, let alone the money, I wanted. You think Sam Power's done half as much? I've devoted my entire fucking life to the men. And then be kicked in the bollocks at the final hurdle. It hurts, and you know why? Because it's probably my last chance. I'm tired. I deserve that promotion. It should have been mine.
Surely you'll get it next time if you're this close.
Well, apparently that depends on getting a fast result on this case, and that's beginning to look like it's not going to happen.
No. There's nobody else who can do this job better than you in the whole of the Met.
He glances up at Travis and looks her in the eye.
I'm sorry I suspected you. Especially you.
He reaches out and gently strokes her cheek, disturbing her shiny red locks. She looks down, a little tearful perhaps. He reaches for his coat and gets up.
We'll see you in the morning.
She shuts her eyes as he heads for the front door. Travis keeps her eyes locked sadly on the coffee table. Outside the building, Langton puffs on a cigarette. With his coat held in the crook of his arm, he exhales a plume of smoke, then takes another drag. He turns around and looks back at Travis's flat. The light goes out behind one of the windows. Cigarette smoke rises as the solemn-looking Langton bows his head. It's in the incident room.
Paul, I really think that we need to get a warrant for the girl's apartment.
Has Mike said anything to you?
Yep, but Langton came in like a man possessed this morning and I've got my hands full. I've got Mr. Delaney in reception refusing to take part in a TV press appeal. You won't give me permission to use a similar soft toy rabbit, diary mock-ups, and I've got the press calling non-stop. I've got nobody to clear out Sam's office, which Langton wants done straight away. I've got to put pressure on Andrea Lesser for the murder victim's contract. So she's sidestepping because Amanda's funeral's this afternoon. And I'm getting blasted because I haven't got the CCTV footage from the victim's muse, which I've been on every day. I mean, come on. They're Russian.
Come on, Paul. I'll talk to Mr. Delaney with you.
Thanks.
In a soft interview room.
It's been bad enough for my wife and I to have our daughter's private life raked over yet again. Bad enough when she was alive. If you have to resort to this crass media coverage, then why don't you just admit this investigation is making no progress?
We have found that these programmes, contrary to your suggestions, have proved very valuable.
When? Tell me. When have you ever had a victim as well known as my daughter?
Not recently. But by asking the public's assistance, we have, in the past, gained valuable information.
Mr. Delaney, there are missing items from your daughter's muse. The soft toy rabbit, the mobile phone, the diary.
Then why aren't you out there, finding them?
We're endeavouring to do so. By showing similar items on live TV may give us information that we need. It's possible the killer may have taken them with him, but someone may have seen them.
Rubbish. I refuse to let my daughter's death be exploited so the great British public can gloat over her murder. The press are already digging up disgusting stories about her promiscuity.
Did you care about your daughter, Mr. Delaney?
I beg your pardon?
If her personal life was such a disappointment to you.
How dare you?
If you did care, wouldn't you try to find out why she was so hell-bent on destroying herself?
You have no idea what we have been forced to endure. And you have no right whatsoever to suggest that my wife and I were lacking in affection for our daughter.
Why was she so scared to sleep? Why was she terrified of the dark? We're not the press, okay? We are not the paparazzi. We're not hounding you. We're trying to find out who killed your daughter. Why are you refusing to assist us?
Refusing to assist you? You're detectives. You're paid to investigate. We've come from France to bury Amanda. My wife and I wanted a quiet, private ceremony, not to be part of a media circus. You should be ashamed of yourself.
He glares at her sternly, then gets up and marches out of the room, leaving the door standing open behind him.
It's like chalk and cheese compared to my father. My dad, he loved me no matter what I did, but he abandoned her.
I don't blame you. You were pretty hard on him.
Yeah, I haven't finished with him yet.
Yes!
Paul was looking at a message on his phone. Langton takes out a cigarette outside the station as Paul gleefully opens up a van packed with boxes.
What?
The boxes are filled with discs.
Success with the Russians.
God help us, there's a van load of boxes, hundreds of them.
Langton takes the cigarette out of his mouth as he inspects the van.
Bloody hell.
Indoors.
Not one of them is dated.
Copy them, share them out, find the ones we need.
The funeral's kicking off in a minute.
We have a cover, this is important.
Paul ditches a handful of discs. Amanda's funeral is a media scrum. Andrea arrives just before Rupert and Helen. She gets out of a car and thanks the driver. The Delaneys head past as Rupert and Helen get out of their car and briefly pose for the cameras in sunglasses. At the police station, Paul enters Langton's office.
Forensics. They have a DNA match on the sample found on the crucifix.
Sean O'Dell?
Yeah.
At the funeral, Sean's car pulls up. The driver lets him out, and Sean makes an attempt to cover his face with his jacket.
There's more. Further two DNA matches on the semen stains from the bed linen. Sean O'Dell again, and Scott Myers.
Lying hell bastards.
A convertible arrives at the funeral. The passenger, Scott, climbs out and poses smugly for the cameras, then heads over to join Andrea. In the church, the congregation stands solemnly as the coffin bearers carry the wicker coffin, decked with flowers, down the central aisle. Andrea is at the front of the church.
Little did any of us, who loved her so dearly,
know that in such a short time, her life would be taken. She will forever be in my mind. And now I would like you to listen to a recording Amanda made of her favorite poem.
She sits down beside the Delaneys, facing a photo of Amanda.
I am the green grass. I am the blonde hair caught between your fingers. I am the light in your eyes when you look at me. I am the light gone out of your eyes when you look away. Don't look away. I like you. See, I'm smiling. Don't go away. Stay. You want to stay, don't you?
At the police station.
And this is from the night of the murder.
Footage from outside Amanda's flat.
Hold it there.
You recognise her?
Damn right I do. That's Helen Mitchell. Gilbert Mitchell's wife. Fast forward.
Helen goes into the flat.
There she's leaving. 20 minutes later.
That's time enough.
Leaving the church with Travis, Barbara gets a text.
Paul's here to nick Helen Mitchell. What?
Paul and Mike arrive.
What's going on?
Mrs. Mitchell, lying through her teeth. We've got on CCTV footage at the Mews.
He spots Helen leaving with Rupert.
Mrs. Mitchell, will you please agree to accompany me to the station?
Why, we've been as accommodating as possible.
Your wife is a suspect in the Amanda Delaney murder. Please come with me now. You'll be more embarrassing if I have to cuff you here.
Helen looks solemn as Paul leads her towards his car. Unnoticed at the front of the quiet church, Mike looks through some of the flower bouquets.
Hey, have you got any gear? I need some speed. We're doing night shoots all week and I have to go straight from here to the film set.
I don't know what you're on about, mister. I don't. It's not my scene.
But you're Amanda's driver, weren't you? Poured us into the car on a number of occasions.
This is her funeral. Show some respect. On your way. There's a good boy.
Sean shakes his head, then slopes off. Mike gets up.
Everything all right?
Yeah, it's just a problem with a car. Actors, you know.
Outside, a furtive-looking genie finds Felicity pale and weary in the churchyard.
Have you been shooting up behind that tombstone?
I feel like Calvin agents invited everyone back to the Delaney's Hotel for drinks. Apart from us.
She really gave her a piece of my mind. Bitch.
Jeannie frowns as Felicity staggers off through the yard with her eyes narrowed and her lips pursed. Mike follows Harry out of the church. Harry puts on a pair of shades and hugs his brother, Tony. Mike joins Barbara and Travis nearby.
I just caught Harry ticking off Oakdale. I'm seeing about those brothers.
Yeah, I agree, but they've both got alibis.
So you run checks on them?
Both, no previous.
What can those two be talking about?
Mr. Delaney's with Jeannie.
Sure, why don't you go fuck yourself? Shut up, bitch. Yeah, I know all about you. It's all a sham. Well, you still enough money to pay for all this, did you?
Better time you left, young lady.
Yeah, I know all about you and your brother.
What are you talking about, my brother?
Because I know.
You know what? Where is he?
Do you know how much Amanda hated you? She knew what you were doing. She told her. Come and leave this tiny face. Come on, this place up to
Harry grabs Jeannie as Barbara and Mike calm Felicity.
He's assaulting me! He's assaulting me!
Let her go! Let her go! Now!
Mr. James,
both of you, can I ask you some questions, please? You know those two girls, Amanda's flatmates?
Well, I've drove Amanda a few times when she lived with him, yeah.
Did Amanda ever use you to drive her privately?
Well, we both did, didn't we?
Yeah, sometimes if there was a premiere, she'd call one of us.
What about any other drivers that she may have used?
No, I don't know any.
Right.
Look, excuse me, I've got to get my car ready.
You seem very upset in the church.
I was upset. It was the straw coffin. And knowing that she was inside it, it did upset me, yeah.
What about your brother?
Listen, miss. We just do our job. No more, no less.
Travis nods as Harry calmly walks away. Paul leads Rupert and Helen towards the station.
I'll call your father. If you need representation, he'll get you the best.
I don't want him told. God, they took photographs of us.
Harry lets himself into a quiet-looking lockup. There is a shiny, burgundy-coloured estate car parked inside. Harry takes out his phone and makes a call on his way towards the car, which he gets in behind the wheel.
Lester, I don't know where you are, mate. But you're going to have to get in touch with us. You've got to talk to me. I know what this must be doing to you, but it doesn't make you look good, do you understand? And you know that me and Tony, we... Shit.
He idly looks behind the sun visor above the steering wheel and the keys fall into his lap. He holds them up and shakes his head. Langton shows Helen the CCTV footage.
This was recorded the night of Amanda Delaney's murder. Why did you lie to me?
I swear she was alive when I left.
I don't believe you're a murderer, Mrs. Mitchell, but I need to know why you were there.
She glances at Rupert, who's also in the room.
I went to ask her to leave him alone.
Flashback.
Just sit down for a minute. Do you want a coffee or something?
Amanda turns to a man on the stairs.
400, that's more than last time. Can you get me some of that other gear? I've got night shoes for a week and I can't sleep.
I told you I can't keep getting your stuff. It's every week now, if someone sees me.
Go out and come back the same way, for fuck's sake.
She plants a lingering kiss on the man's lips. Helen watches them. Amanda comes back downstairs and joins her in the living room.
What do you want, Mrs. Mitchell?
For you to leave us alone. I know you keep on calling Rupert, and I also know he doesn't want to see you.
Well, that's hard. We're on set every day. I can't help but see him. We're playing husband and wife.
This is a very difficult time for me. I'm having fertility treatment, and this stress over you and Rupert is really unacceptable.
I can't have kids. You might want to tell him he should be nicer to me on set.
Amanda smiles smugly.
He doesn't know I've come here. I don't want him to be told. I just want you to leave him alone. Please.
Okay, whatever.
Can you describe the man she was talking to?
Not really. I only saw a glimpse of him. Blonde hair, suit, but I didn't really see his face.
Is there anything else? Anything at all?
I remember she said something about him leaving the way he came in. I'm so sorry.
In the incident room.
We've been through all the footage. Whoever it was had to have come over the roof.
So, we've got three men who could have been in the house that night, right? Two actors, possible drug dealer. Chase it up. That
one. The team spring into action. Two officers usher Scott from his house and bundle him into the back of a waiting car. Tall, shaggy-haired Scott looks peeved and weary. Travis drives onto the film set and spots Sean arguing with two crew members.
Sorry for sounding off. Head's cracking open. Too much to drink at the funeral. Have a seat.
Travis sits down in Sean's trailer.
You are far too attractive to be a detective. Do you ever think of switching careers?
Do you know how close you are to being locked up, Mr. O'Dell? We found evidence that shows that you were in Amanda Delaney's bed before she was killed. You told me you hadn't seen her.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I admit I lied. We were with her the night before she was murdered. She made these frantic calls. She wanted to see us. Us, that's me and Scott. But she got this stash of gear and we got wiped out.
Where'd she get it from?
I don't know.
What about that?
Shit, yeah. Truth was, I was wearing it. We both got one from that movie. Amanda was messing around, filming us on her phone.
Scott, I can't believe you're agreeing to it. Don't give in to her, man.
Don't give in to what?
She fingers his necklace, then kisses Scott.
Yes, that's what I wanted.
Scott smokes a cigarette as she turns to kiss Sean.
She's good too, Scott. She was.
She continues to film, then spots the crucifix on the necklace.
What's that?
And that's when she said that I had taken a crucifix, but it was mine.
You bastard, you stole this.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I was given one as well, do you remember?
No, this one's mine. Give it to me.
Oh, this one's mine,
Give it
Amanda.
To me.
Amanda, are you serious?
No,
Amanda, you're going to break it.
I want it. Give
Amanda,
it to
let
me.
Let it fucking go. You're hurting me fucking...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
In the trailer.
She bust the chain.
At the station.
How'd you get in?
Over the roof.
Did you leave the same way?
Yes, her driver was waiting for us. She didn't want us to leave. She hated being on her own at night. She'd freak out if she heard the slightest noise, you know. I mean, it was all in her head. I mean, she was paranoid.
Describe his driver.
Blonde guy, I don't know. You know, see the back of their heads? Look, I was sick, so he had to stop for me to throw up. He dropped Sean off first. I sort of passed out. I don't hardly remember getting home.
Why did you lie to us?
Because she was murdered. We talked about it and we just decided to keep quiet. Having a threesome and getting off our heads on drugs. Press would have had a field day.
Who was the dealer?
I don't know. Look, we only went round there because she kept calling us about this problem she had with her agent and money. I have two witnesses who know where I was the following night.
Travis questioned Odell. He corroborates Scott's story. They were together.
You can go.
Well, I really am sorry for wasting your time. This is when we heard about...
Get out! Turn right at the end of the corridor.
Scott hurries off.
I hate those fucking people.
So we have a driver and a dealer, neither of whom can be identified.
Mike and Langton stand side by side.
I think it might be the same person. Helen Mitchell mentioned a blonde guy in his suit. Myers just talked about a blonde.
Something was definitely going down between Harry James and Odell at the funeral.
What was that about? Was he scoring drugs?
He told Odell the drugs weren't his scene. But Felicity Turner is a user, and somebody supplied enough junk to Dan Hutchins to top himself.
All right. Bring the girls in first thing in the morning. And, find the supplier.
Mike leaves Langton in the interview room. Beneath an overcast sky, three men carry Felicity's waterlogged dead body off a barge and lay her down gently on the deck of a bigger boat. Her skin is pale. She's in the same gear she wore to the funeral, a denim jacket and a flouncy miniskirt. One of the men takes out his phone as they head off along the deck. ITFC audio description. Next time...
If we've got a killer that's knocking off the kids from the flat, she'll be next.
The Fitzpatrick situation, I didn't discuss it with anyone.
I'm off the hook. Wasn't even on the investigation.
Maybe he thinks it was me that grassed him up.
Any more lies? Well, any more forgotten shit? They'll both be charged with perverting the course of justice.
You can want to screw me. What are you doing?
St. George's Hospital, now!
About your promotion, I'm not prepared to sign your papers.